The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity, Amen. Will you please be seated? Good evening. One of the things that sets me and my wife apart from the rest of my family, and there are many, is that things don't revolve for us around meals. Now, as my wife can tell you, I'm sure, my mother makes things revolve around meals. So does my sister. She learned it from my mother. Any time that we go to a family gathering, for me and Becky, dinner time is, well, we assume we're going to have dinner, and when we get ready to think about it, we will, but you know, that's then, and now's now, and what are we going to do? But that's not the way my mother's brain works. It kills her that we don't already know what we're having for dinner next Christmas. It kills her that the place settings are not already made up, that we haven't decided the order in which we'll serve everything. And by having everything planned so carefully, then things work their way backwards. If you know that you're having this meal at a certain time, that means you've got to be ready for that meal, which means getting dressed. You don't just show up for the meal. You have to be dressed for the meal. And casual in Louisiana does not mean casual. That means your tie doesn't have to be very tight. Well, my mom came by this honestly too. Her mother was the same way. I can remember for year after year at my grandmother's house, there were certain times when we would meet at my house for dinner. Thanksgiving Day, Christmas Day, those were ours. But New Year's Day, and inexplicably Valentine's Day, were always at my grandmother's house. And we would all go over there and she would hold court. And everything had to be served just so. In later life, she would pretend that she had made the whole lunch when in reality she had ordered it all up from Mrs. Rimes, a local caterer who would deliver things over to my grandmother's house and then take all the wrappings away so she could pretend that she had made everything for us. Part of the ritual was that she would surprise my mother with my mother's favorite drinks. She'd bring her a grasshopper, knowing that the look on my mother's face as she received her favorite drink would be priceless. And my mom did not disappoint. And then as my grandmother disappeared into the other room, my mother would look at the rest of us and say, "I hate these damn things." On New Year's Day in particular, there was the ritual of eating greens. The greens on New Year's Day meant that was for luck, for money in the coming year. And we also ate black-eyed peas on New Year's Day because that was for good luck and good health. There was an order to it. There was a ritual to it. There was a Seder to it. Kind of like the Seder meal that Jesus was having with his friends at the table the evening of the Last Supper. The evening that he took that ritual and said, "I want you to take the things you know, the things that are familiar, the things you've been taught generation by generation, and I want you to understand them differently. I want to add a level of meaning onto here in addition to what's already there, in addition to the things you already know." Well, my grandmother, I think, had a lot of different reasons for wanting to do these things. You may think that it was just because she liked the food, and she liked food as much as any of us. But if it was just for the consumption, I think we would have stopped with the champagne, because that was what she enjoyed the most. And you might argue, and you'd be right, that there's an element of control in this. Because my grandmother expected us to be in the exact spot at the designated time and to do the things that we were supposed to do. And you'd be right, there is an element of control to it. But more than anything else, it was because as a young girl, when she was probably about 3 years old, my grandmother contracted what we would call strep throat. And these days, you and I would see that a child had strep throat, and we would go and get an antibiotic, and it would be over in a day or two. Well, in my grandmother's day, that was before antibiotics. And what we know as strep throat was then called scarlet fever. And scarlet fever in a young girl in Texas could be fatal. And for many people, it was. My grandmother nearly escaped death, barely escaped death, but the lasting scar of the whole thing was that it took away most of her hearing. She was profoundly she had profound hearing loss. She wasn't totally deaf, but she had very heavy hearing loss until the day she died. And the whole time that I knew her, she could barely hear anything. And so the real reason that she made everything revolve around these meals is that for the whole rest of the year, she saw us moving around and doing the things that we did, and she encouraged it. She paid for vacations to take us to go to amazing places that she had seen, that she wanted us to see. And she loved to see me and my sister play. She loved to see us do our school projects and come to our school plays, even if she couldn't hear a word of it. She loved to see us do the things that we did, but the one thing that she really did want in return, the one thing that she needed so much, was those meals together. Because if she could just get us around a table, she could hear just enough. She could hear us. She could be heard. And she could hear us. And she got to know us more in that one meal than she could guess the rest of the year by just watching us do the things we did, but not really being able to hear us. I think that our lives, the lives that we live day to day, are a lot like that. We see each other moving around. We celebrate each other's successes. We celebrate each other's busyness. But we never really hear each other. We don't hear each other. I think that it's to the detriment of our culture right now. I think that it's this art of sitting together according to the order and following through the steps and being in each other's presence and really hearing each other is something we don't do as much anymore, and it's to our detriment. It means that our public leaders, including our clergy, lead us more into stratified positions and retreat into fear, and we hear only the voices of the people who agree with us. Jesus called his disciples together because he wanted desperately to know them and to be known by them, to hear them and to be heard by them. You know the rest of the story. You know what is to happen. You know that he taught them also that the relationship that he wanted for them was not just listening, but service. Service to the point of washing each other's feet as a sign of humility, as a sign that there was nothing, no place so low that he wouldn't go for the privilege of being with them. Tonight is the night that God wants to eat with us. When I was in my last congregation, there was a little girl who wanted badly to take communion at the communion rail, but her dad insisted, "No, you're not old enough. You haven't been confirmed. It isn't time yet." And one day she was at the communion rail and I was about to give her communion and her father took her hands and took them away and she screamed out in the middle of church, "But I want to eat." Each of us, more than anything else, just wants to come here and know that we belong. That we belong to God. We want to eat. And God wants nothing more than to hear us and to be heard. And tonight is the night that we remember that God is willing always to come and eat with us. Whenever we have that bread, whenever we have that wine, God is with us. And God is here to teach us that we are that family of which I speak, that insufferable, hard to get along with family. And that they'll know that we're family by our love for one another. Amen.